time's getting short here in this class. We're heading back up to the end of the new semester, the quarter, beginning of December. So we've had about half the class and the other half family and campus and no classes for whatever reason. So anyway, we're starting to run out of, you see the agenda, we're our syllabus, and there's going to be a lot of topics we're not going to be able to cover. So Alan and I thought, well, we'll just do some selective themes here. Heading on out. And so we're not going to go in any kind of order, so we don't end up upsetting anybody. How many people even have their syllabus? No, sorry, it probably doesn't matter anyway. Anyway, we're going to jump up to 2 Corinthians 4 and 5-ish. The theme on the syllabus was called Metamorphosis. Very biblical topic. So, we've covered a lot of ground in our class. And I'll do first Corinthians, the first half of it, quite a bit. And as you remember, the Corinth church had quite a few issues to deal with that Paul had to address them. He wrote a couple of letters. 1 Corinthians was not his first letter. It's probably his second, the first one that was saved for the canon, the biblical canon. So anyway, he was going back and forth on a lot of different issues. Some issues today, if we were an elder or a minister of some kind, we'd probably, we'd wonder if this church was worth all the time, the commitment, But Paul spent a lot of time with him, and as a result, I imagine a lot of other churches learned because of these issues that they were dealing with. Oh, Clarence, all right. We need someone like you. So anyway, once again, our topic for the class is how the relationship to our studies in the Corinthian letters and how we can learn in the 21st century. Carried forward those same ideas. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the element of change and transformation in our life, our spiritual life especially. And going back in the second chapter, as you remember, we studied briefly that we all have natural minds, we all have spiritual minds. And hopefully as we become a Christian, our natural way of thinking, how we grew up in our family, the way things we've learned, and where we grew up, whether it's in Oklahoma or something, how that might change our thinking. I hate to say pervert, but I don't want to use this to pick up, sorry, Dan. Where we grew up and how we, in our families, in our upbringing, the churches we may have grown up in, if we went to a church, our view of God. Our natural mind has certain kinds of, I hate to say, prejudices or ways of viewing the world. And as we accept Christ, we have to go through a transformation over our entire life. It's not instantaneous, now I understand God's nature. It's a constant studying and opening up of our heart and spirit and fellow Christians. So we clarify who God really is and how we say, okay, Ben, here's your box if you've been viewing life through all these years. And let's expand its borders a little bit. Because God is a whole lot more than just a small little box. And I'm sure you guys can put yourself in that same scenario and say how we need to go through that same transformation. So this is kind of building a little bit on 1 Corinthians chapter 2 on how we have these our natural way of seeing, viewing life, our mind, and then our spiritual view. And since change is a big part of our class today, I looked up a couple of quotes from some interesting individuals. One is a guy named Everett Dirksen. He said, "Life is not a static thing. The only people who do not change their minds are incompetents in asylums, who can't, and those in cemeteries." And another quote is a guy named John F. Kennedy. Heard him. He wrote, he said in a speech in Frankfurt, West Germany in 1963, he said, Change is the law of life, and those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. And then another quote by Robert Kennedy in 1964. He said, "Progress is a nice word, but change is its motivator. And change has its enemies." So anyway, I thought with those quotes and everything, now we get into some quotes from the Word of God and how we can view change in a very positive way and in a natural way of life. So then we open up to 2 Corinthians. Now we're jumping up to the 2 Corinthians instead of 1st, to chapter 4. And I just wanted to help you read shot at teaching. We're doing this. We appreciate it. trade is something completely different, yet we want to grow in an area of life that's not natural to us. We want to expand our horizon just like you want to do. Likewise, and so doing it makes us to really study the Word of God better. It makes us to, you know, we might do otherwise. It makes us to be more accountable to ourselves, our lives. So anyway, I encourage you guys, if you get an opportunity to speak into your thinking, your circle, your responsibility to do it. And if you need some help, ask a friend to do it with you. It's always more fun to grow together. Well, there's a couple scriptures about the thing we want to talk about, is change, being transformed. And Romans chapter 12, verse 2 talks about the renewing of our mind. Renewing of our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18, we are being transformed into the Lord's likeness. You know, the transforming process is not instantaneous. We're baptized and we're automatically changed and become Christ-like. It's a transformation that occurs. I hate to use the word evolution, but it's a change that occurs little by little. And sometimes it would be a whole lot easier if we changed just like that, wouldn't it? It'd be a whole lot easier, a whole lot less painful. But we go through the stress for 6 months, 12 months, and then we get it over with, and then we can accept who our new person is, our new likeness of Christ is. But, of course, that stress would be pretty intense. I know a kid who just had a baby, not for the baby, back in September, and now they're just starting to learn again what it's like to sleep through the night. You know, now they're dealing with a major stress. So in addition to a family, plus they've got Sandy two and a half, who's an active 2-year-old with two kids within a period of age, an age that's going to drain on your patience and so forth. Now, if he also had other stress, other types of changes, all hitting within this short amount of time, say he changed jobs and moved to a new city, all in the same city, which he just did 2 years ago. And that stress is pretty overwhelming. So it's probably best that we do transform our life into Christ a little at a time so we can get used to who we really are and we can appreciate some of the differences rather than doing it all at once. So I guess it's something to be thankful to God that he helps us and leads us a little and handles our stress for us so that does it give us one that we can handle and bear. I was just wondering, wanted to ask you guys a question. How often do you now, you don't have too many people here, there's no one here in high school, there's no one here really in much in their 20s. So we've worked a few years, most of us, we've raised some kids. How often do you look back and say, take a self-inventory or self-awareness and say, here's my world right now. Here's my life. Here's my job situation. Here's my spiritual life. And here's what it was 10 years ago. Here's where I am now. My needs are different. My interests are different. How often do you guys get a chance to do that or would like to do that?
I do that a lot. I examine my life when I get up every morning. I look at it, and it is a brand new day, brand new start. I try not to live what happened yesterday, because some of yesterday is not as pretty or not as bright and not as colorful. And sometimes yesterday can be really nice, but I'm not in yesterday, I'm in the day. And I'm trying to learn every moment I get up that I'm living for the day. I'm not living for yesterday. Not living for tomorrow because tomorrow's not here yet. And it's hard sometimes to stay focused on that because in my life I find, I guess it's good to see, but it's good not to see as much as you see. I don't know how I'm putting that right, but I hope I am. This world offers a lot of opportunities in a lot of different ways. Some are honest, some are dishonest, some are selfish gains, some are gains that are even worth seeking after. Seems to be good, but the after effects of it sometimes can cost you more pain than what it's worth. But there's all kind of opportunities out there every day. And I look at my options and my opportunities and my choices. And I'm trying to learn how to make a good choice, not a selfish choice, but a good choice. Not one so much of what I want and the way that I want it, but what would God want me to do? Because I'm living in a world where there's two forces, good and evil, and they dwell within me. I don't have to look at the other person, see what they're doing anymore. I'm learning to look at my own life and realize that there's good and evil within inside of my own self.
I know, too, you've talked to me a couple of times in the past about periodically you have to evaluate your relationship with Evelyn. What can I do to improve it? What can I do to, what's the best? And I imagine you probably have to do that as well, right? Whether it's relationship with your spouse or you're working. You probably have to evaluate maybe at the end of every season. After you go through last year and you start a new year, you might have to do the same thing, right?
But that's easier. With my wife, it's easier because I have learned to let go and let God have. But with people and situations and jobs and moving forward for what I want in life, I need to learn how to let go of that situation and let God have, because God's plan for me is better than mine. It may seem, I guess it's like a woman giving birth to a baby. It may be hard at first when she's about to conceive this child into this world. But after she goes through all that pain and see that child, all that pain she went through leaves and just the joy of looking at that child. You know, our man, for example, he can sit there and he can go through so much problem to try to get where he's going, but once he achieved his goal, he feels relief, but now he figured, what do I do next? And so I'm in a transformation of learning how to accept whatever God brings my way and accept it. Stop fighting against it. Stop wondering, well, what is God doing to me now? I have one of those attitudes. When things are changing in my life, I'm more of like, just what is God's plan for me now? Just like sometimes at this church, I came here through Sister Canary and Mary Asset. They're all gone. And I'm still here. And I'm like, after God, why am I still here? I mean, I remember one time in my life I said, I would never go into church no more. I remember coming out of the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witness, and I disagreed with a lot of their teaching and a lot of things I seen that just wasn't right, and I could never go over to the Bible and study it with them. And instead, they wanted to just stick with these watchtowers, these awakes, these booklets, and then let's go over this Bible, and that's it. But I'm just learning how to accept whatever God brings my way. Accept it. Stop fighting against it. Stop rejecting it, because a lot of blessings don't come in the disguise that we look for yet.
Okay, let's check on some other people. See what some other people. Thank you, Clarence. Okay, anybody else? Do you sometimes wait and just do a almost a daily self-awareness of where you are? I know it's not good to do too much of one, because otherwise we're stuck in introspection so much and in the lack of. And then we get dragged down out of reality sometimes. It's good to have a balance, but is there any other natural times in your life that you do a self-awareness test before we go on to the next step of change in your life?
Well, for me, it always seems to revolve around kids. And I'm sure I probably don't evaluate it as often as I could as maybe when every kid graduates from grade school. Mm-hmm. So that'd be about once every 5 years. But it always, that's an event in my life that really makes me sit back and think that, hey, there's, you know, times really have changed. Or not, our kids aren't in this safe little, almost idyllic setting of a grade school. They're out in the quote-unquote real world of junior high school.
Yeah.
It's not really the real world yet either. But,
okay.
So we got a big one coming up in a couple of years. I'm starting to get ready for it already.
High school.
No, when Sean leaves, no, our last kid leaves grade school.
Oh, okay. Okay. The kids. Right.
That's big.
Three more years.
That's a lot of change.
Yeah.
That's a big change for me.
Okay. How do you judge your faith in
the Bible? Alan, because I know when he said 5 years, they are so hectic that Suzanne came flying into the pantry Friday to work. She looked at me and she said, oh, no. She thought she was supposed to be there. And she had put the baby here and the kids were home. So they're really going through some hectic time. Yeah.
Anybody else? Times, natural times in your life, you start saying, it's a change. My body, like, I had to do that in the last year or two, so, on a physical basis. I've always been a jogger. I've always liked jogging. I had to finally come to the realization, my knees can't take it anymore. I'm getting close to 40. I just can't do it. I don't like flipping. So I had to start figuring out what are some other exercises I can do. I can do bicycling. I can do other types of things. I have to exercise to relieve stress, you know, and just stay healthy so I can sleep better. But the realization I had to occur, you know, is physical.
I guess I don't really understand the question. I don't schedule times to do that. Looking back, I'd say there are different types of events that would cause it. Children, especially when you see something in the child that changes for them. For instance, you know, they're going a little older grade. They first start talking about stuff that you hadn't seen in them. It may surprise me of where they're at. Or other times when I disappoint myself in the way I behave, you know, it's just kind of circumstances that
drive that.
Right. I think a lot of it's just being aware and open to, you know, what's going on. Sort of.
How about the time when, like you said, circumstances might drive you to that change in phase and how to think differently and what are you going to do differently in life? When you moved back from Connecticut back to here, and you had to take on a different role in the church from a minister to now all of a sudden you're a lay person. Now all of a sudden you had to think, hey, how am I going to develop my career? What are my interests? How do I get there? You probably have to do a lot of evaluation there. Or had you already thought a whole lot ahead of that on that?
Yeah, I don't think of it like that. Either you just, whatever circumstances you're in, I mean, it's from ministry to lay, that's really what's the difference, really. I mean, are you in or you're not? We're all, yeah, there's different functions and different things, how you spend your time and energy, but, you know, you just do what you do, you know. There's transitions. That's left only all the time.
Yeah. So, cool. Five ideas I wanted to share with you. Really some time for Alan to get going to chapter 5 for a little while. That were really interesting I wanted to share with you on change. First thing is that he mentioned is from his commentary. Steal a lot of ideas from SermonCentral.com, so they're not ours, we're plagiarizing. But the first one is recognize that your spiritual life is a journey. We talked a little bit about that. Spiritual life is a constant evolving process. The second thing he said is set our sights on the final destination. And we looked at that in chapter 4 a little bit. The very last verse says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. But what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. And that's something really that's home for me too, because some of you guys are in career situations that are, you know, pretty stable. You don't hardly think about it, you just show up. And some of us, you know, I have to evaluate that process almost weekly, monthly, whatever. And now I'm in a situation with a particular situation at work where I have to think, hey, is this a situation that's very positive? It's a situation I need to move on and get out of it because it's not constructive, you know. And we all have to think about that. This is something that's challenging me or not. It's a situation where the people I'm working with may be a drain on my spiritual energy and our emotional energy. Or it might be a great encouragement. If they're a drain, like it can be to me at times, is that going to affect the rest of my life? Is it going to affect the ability I can be a dad, a good dad? Is it going to drag down my spirit? just a little bit negative, then I can deal with it, and I can still grow through it and cope, you know. And it's kind of like, I had to do the evaluation almost weekly, monthly sometimes, because of the people I happen to work with. And your situation might be different. Yeah, Clarence?
I found it, I thank God for this. I mean, I'm learning how to let people be people. Let a person be who they are, what they are. It's not my problem. It has really absolutely nothing to do with me. My responsibility is to love them with the love of Christ. And I don't mean that I have to change to their ways or their ways of thinking, but I have no right to put them down because they may not be going through the struggle or hurdle or struggle that I have hurdled. Because I think that everyone has to grow in their own pace with God. And so I'm learning to love a person for who they are. I don't care what ethnic background, what their sexual preferences may be. Just love that person. And stop prejudging them or start looking down on them because they are not where I feel they should be at. And it has helped me out a lot because I'm learning that way it leads to an open door for me where I don't have to stay in a situation. I can leave that situation peacefully, or I can say, I can't do this anymore, and I got to go. But before, I had a hard time dealing with that because I used to look at the church as a whole like, well, we ought to be on the same page. No, we're not. And I have no right to prejudge a person regardless of how long they've been in church if they're not on the same page I'm in, because this is a spiritual walk with Christ. And God is the one that's moving us on the pages.
We all have different gifts, and we talked about Alan's an engineer, and you know, some people are great singers, you know, engineers can be singers too, don't get me wrong.
singers can be very analytical people too, but
you know, we need each other, man. We need left-brain people, right-brain people in the church. We need people with different interests, different personality types. We need each other, but you're right, though. It's easy for us to view life. Everybody should be like me, you know, and it's like, no, that's not the way God made us. That's good.
For me, it's real easy to, if you're back to talking about focusing on the, end.
Yeah, on the final destination.
On the final destination. It's easy for me to get lost in the details and just get into the routine. Some of the things that I've done in the past, like, heading up the driving for room at the end, it, after a certain period of time, it just became a routine, and my goal was just to provide the drivers, and you get stuck in that rut, and you get frustrated, because it seemed to be more trouble than it was worth, and then every once in a while, maybe this is what you meant earlier by looking at and evaluating what you're doing, and it's important to focus on what were we really doing. It wasn't just providing drivers, it was reaching out to people in the community, providing a service, basically fulfilling a commandment of God to take care of people. These were often, if not widows, they were single moms. They might as well have been widows with children. So anyway, it really helped me to focus on the end of the journey rather than, I think that's true of just about everything we do.
Okay. Good. The third thing is recognize our spiritual life as a journey. Second, set our sights on the final destination. Third, ask God to help you with your roadblocks. Don't try to handle it by yourself. And that's an encouragement to know that God is a God that cares about the common folk and not just the president, the CEO, and the guy who has a lot of influence and money, but he cares about little old me too, man. And that's encouraging. The fourth thing is, learn how to refuel in your life, your spiritual journey. And when you encounter change, and children's change, career change, spiritual change, who are the people to help you refuel? Who are the people, the small groups that you're in? You know, use them to help be refueled, help refuel others. You know, there's a lot of good ideas we could throw around there. I wish we had a lot of time we could spend on each issue. And the fifth thing,
our Wednesday night groups are probably the best vehicle that we have to refuel ourselves. I mean, daily, obviously, we need to we need to be in the Word daily, but once a week we can get together with brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis, in a smaller setting, and that's the time that I think is the best to be refueled.
Yeah, let me just open it up. Anybody else? What are times where you get refueled? What are they?
I think it can also be you started this class off with the team teaching. I've done that. The only time I've ever taught has been in team teaching, and that can refuel you. Just by the contact with that person, that's how you get to know people in the church, too, once you work with them. And that can be a real big encouragement.
Great. Sometimes it's the least expected. Like last Sunday, I think I even shared with you, I wasn't really all that excited about going to the prayer and teen night because I felt like it had been a long weekend and I just didn't really want to go. I know Brian didn't want to go either, but at the end of the time, after spending that time together with brothers and sisters, I was encouraged. And that often's the case. It always seems like the Friday night before the men's retreat, I'm thinking to myself, the last thing in the world I want to do is go to this men's retreat. I don't know why that is, but there's always something that it's been a really, really hard week, and maybe the next week's going to be even harder, and yet I always go because I always know that I'll walk away from it thinking, man, I sure am glad I went. Does anybody ever else feel like that?
We need each other, Christians. Jesus made the church as a very important purpose. And you refuel up by getting up early in the morning, don't you? Spend time in solitude.
Yeah, I get up early. Study and read. Particularly fired up by getting those. I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't particularly, unless there's something that's talked about that really fires me up. But that's not going to be a natural for me. A wife. I got my routine. I think preparation to teach is definitely a motivator. I've never been particularly a lot less disciplined at just doing it because it's a good thing to do. I get more out of it. I've got some sort of reason that's not quite as pure a motive, but it works. So.
That's good. We all are refueled in different ways. Appreciate that. Thought each other realized, and we changed too. I know I was a whole lot more extroverted in my 20s than I am now. Maybe partly I'm changing because of age, maybe because of my career is making me change in different ways. It's making me be a quiet person at times, not as much as Julie, by which I was.
Maybe your wife is
doing it.
Introvert, extrovert, thank God.
So anyway, learn how to refuel. And the last thing about change is pause along the way to celebrate progress. Psalms chapter 40. Chapter 40 of Psalms is a great psalm to look at. We don't have a lot of time to look at it. But be thankful, man. We read that in 2 Corinthians 4:2 about becoming the likeness of God so that we can be thankful. That was around verse 16-ish. And man, that just helps me too when I feel like bummed out, whether it's my job, just think it back. God, you gave me this job for 2 years, and I've learned, and I've made some really good friends. And just think, man, there's some good things. If it doesn't end out as well as I wish, if it's not going well right now, God, you blessed me in some ways. I've learned some things. I've taught some things. I've learned to persevere through some people I didn't want to, but I've really learned as a result of God. You put me in some situations here. You've taught me in some ways of how to address some people in a very hostile environment in a way that I didn't feel natural doing, because I usually want to blast people, but that's not a diplomatic way when you're addressing a supervisor. I got to learn some tact. God made me learn those things. So it's God's forcing me to deal with my attitude. Be thankful, man. I'm sorry, Alan. I just stole a bunch of your time.
Oh, that's all right. We actually covered most of what.
That's a problem. You're both preparing to defend and you're trying to.
See you again next week.
formal evaluation of the class and the Alan and I, so we can learn, we can be better presenters in the future, facilitators, and also we can get ideas too from what topics are relevant, you know, what styles and so forth. Because, you know, we're all learning together here. It's not a, you know, it's not a science. We're all mature Christians in this room, you know, we all have a lot of good, valuable insights, so why not take advantage of it and learn from each other, you know? So I hope, I don't know how many people will be able to make it next week, but if you're here, we'll definitely like it, you know?
Is anybody not going to be here? I don't know. I guess maybe we really did cover quite a bit of what I was going to cover too, so that's good. Maybe I'd like to just end the class by flipping over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This was something that I've been thinking about. Going to host the Timothy Club at work in a couple of weeks, and I wanted to share with the kids one of the things that helps motivate me at work. So I just thought maybe I'd share that with you guys. It kind of ties into here in that one of the ways that I've really tried to change my life is my attitude at work and how even the little things that we do on a daily basis, whether it's greeting people in the morning, maybe that's one thing that you've really challenged me on, Ben. I'm probably one of those guys in the cubicle that you walk by and and totally ignore you. Not because I don't like you, but because I'm trying to get something done. But one of the things you have really helped me with is that relationships with people at work is really important. And so that's one of the reasons I wanted to share with this 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, and do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greek, or the Church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. So I'm going to probably share that with the kids, talking about my relationship with people every day. And it's more than just trying to do a good job. It's relating to the people that you meet every day at work. Because I run across dozens of different people when I go from department to department. Each one of them is going to walk away with something at the end of the day, what their impression of me is. That's one of the big ways that I think I'm trying to change at work.
Jeff has probably got a full cup of stress right now. I don't know if he realizes his career situation is in between some things. Not to mention he's an elder and stuff, and his kids are about ready to start college. And so he probably could use a ton of encouragement. He sits here and is quiet, but I'm sure.
He's smiling too.
Oh, man. So, I don't know about him, but when I go through stress, I can't eat, I can't sleep right, and I'm hoping he's handling it better than I would. So.
Why don't we end our time with a prayer? I want to pray for my grandfather who's struggling with pneumonia, I guess. He's not really expected to live too long. I'll pray for Jeff.
Sure.
Father, we just thank you for this time this morning. To read your word, to study it, to share what we learned. Father, change is often a hard thing. It's hard to know that it's a good thing because we often view change as bad. But Father, you're changing us every day, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in us to change us and mold us and shape us into your image. That's the way that we really want to change. Father, we especially pray for Jeff Kreider and his family and stress and the situation that he's in, the uncertainty that he faces with his job. We pray that your peace and your blessing would be on him and his life as he is faced with decisions he has to make those decisions, but we know that you'll guide him in those decisions. Father, I want to pray for my grandfather. He's had a wonderful